What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome to our show. It is Tuesday, February 14th, 2023, and getting into the week here, it is Valentine's Day, and guys, if you forgot, trust me, you will pay for it somewhere down the road when you least expect it, and everything will be fine, you know, your love will act like no big deal here, but you'll feel like something's a little off, and then when you least expect it, there will be some vengeance forthcoming. So I hope you all remember to treat your squeeze appropriately there. Anyway, it's another busy news day. It's amazing what is going on out there and just how crazy it is. And it just seems like as we go on, things just get crazier and crazier and crazier. And it's building to a peak. And I don't know what explosion level of craziness is, or maybe we're generating a black hole of insanity that will suck the entire government into it, but it's getting a little bit crazy. Anyway, we've got Mike in our control room taking care of business, and we're going to try and get through as much of the news as we can until it's time to open the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Okay, let's start with Ohio. That is definitely the number one story, or it ought to be. It is still being downplayed in the corporate media. And, it's kind of interesting because the media and Biden are trying to act like no big deal over there from what appears to be the worst environmental disaster in our nation's history. And some people might say that Deepwater Horizon may be worse, but that happened out in the Gulf of Mexico. This is right in America's heartland in Ohio, a very fertile food producing part of the country, and they just ran train of hazardous materials. They weren't taking any precautions on it, and it derailed, it leaked all over, and they set it on fire, and it's just made an incredible mess. Anyway, Joe Biden came on out talking about the bipartisan infrastructure law, and he was bragging about it. You know, all the good things we've done. You know, we have funded over 20,000 projects, including major airports, upgrades from Boston to Atlanta, and he goes on and on and on about all the good things, and doesn't really mention Ohio. And ironically, news broke of two more train derailments. And this was down in South Carolina and another one in Splendora, Texas. Now, these are nowhere near as bad in the aftermath as what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. But it still sort of underscores the fact that something has gone wrong with our rail infrastructure. And this was supposed to be put together, made to work by Pete Buttigieg, who was appointed to that position by Joe Biden. And that's probably why they're trying to pretend it's no big deal, because it makes, Buttigieg look bad. He does look really bad. And then you've got, Joe Biden himself for having, hired according to the liberal checklist of, gay, black, whatever, rather than actually find people who could handle the complex systems of our transportation, whether it's rail or aviation or shipping. And Buttigieg just is not up to the job. Okay. And so we're looking at this train derailment, and it happened back on the 4th. It's created a huge mess. Now, interestingly enough, this is spreading into the soil. It's getting into the air. It's getting into the waterways. It's everywhere. Now, the Environmental Protection Agency is assuring residents the water is safe to drink. And I would remind you that is the same EPA that told the first responders in New York that the air was safe to breathe right after 9/11. And, of course, that turned out not to be true. And those first responders have been paying a terrible, terrible price ever since. And here is where you begin to wonder what were they thinking, because they have this spill of all these known toxic carcinogenic chemicals, and instead of trying to clean it up, you know, they just decided, well, we'll just set it on fire and, you know, it'll just go away that way and we don't have to worry about it. Kind of reminds me about the Deepwater Horizon, where they basically went out with dispersants that they spread on the oil on the water. And all the dispersants did was it changed the molecular structure of the oil to make it denser than water so it would sink down to the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico out of sight, out of mind, except it's still down there and it's poisoning sea life. And this is the same attitude. We're just going to make it, you know, disappear. And then it's somebody else's problem here. And so instead of just trying to clean up this huge mess of vinyl chloride and all these other chemicals, they set it on fire. There is smoke all over the place. And, you know, the residents in the area have been hit by a wave of sickness. And it's not just East Palestine. It's surrounding neighborhoods. And at this point, it's estimated that the soil toxin it has stretched out over 30 miles. This is toxins that were in that smoke that precipitated out onto the ground, and it's poisoning farm animals and pets. People are getting sick. And if you remember the movie Outbreak, you know, when that town in California got infected and they just sort of, you know, roped it off and kept it out of the media, it feels a lot like that. I mean, this East Palestine is dealing with a major, major calamity. And, you know, all we had was, you know, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. We don't need to talk about it. And they actually arrested reporters for trying to report on the aftermath of this derailment and the so-called controlled burn. Now, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene came on in saying East Palestine, Ohio, is undergoing an ecological disaster because authorities blew up the train derailment cars carrying hazardous chemicals, and the press are being arrested for trying to tell that story. So it's not really being handled very well. So the latest update is that the water supply for nearly 10% of the entire American population could now be at risk. Contaminants have been found away as far away as West Virginia, and the drinking water for 5 million is affected. And, you know, you need to understand how much farmland there is in Ohio. There are 75,000 farms. 90% of them are family-owned farming operations. And, you know, this is going to have a major impact on our food supply chain at a time where we already are dealing with massive shortages. And this is all due to government incompetence. And I know there are people going to say, oh, it's deliberate and it's this and it's that. And maybe there's some nefarious plan at work. But Occam's razor, we're just dealing with a government that cannot manage this country because they're too caught up in liberal politics. And we've got to give, you know, this protected group a job, you know, and you know, actually, Hitler did the same thing, and it came back to haunt him when he lost World War II. He was hiring people of poor qualifications for the top levels of the Nazi Party, people who would never really amount to much of anything if left on their own. And Hitler did it to guarantee their loyalty because he knew that they knew that without Hitler, they would not be in the positions of wealth and power that they were. And so they were his most fanatical supporters. And maybe that's what's behind Joe Biden's hiring priorities here. Now, the latest word is the toxic materials are now in the Ohio River. Now, the prevailing winds are blowing the smoke from the controlled burn out toward the east over Pennsylvania. It's going to be the Eastern Seaboard's problem. But now states to the west of Ohio are at risk because of the Ohio River being contaminated. And obviously, it makes a lot of us here very nervous because the Ohio River is just a couple of miles off that way. And when we go down to the Walmart in Tell City or we go out to visit Claire's mother, you know, we're driving right along the banks of the Ohio River. And so there was a great deal of concern, and local media is saying what's going to go on. Now, the good news is that the water supplies for Santa Claus and for the other nearby towns where we have family, do not come from the Ohio River. We sit on a very large aquifer. We have a lot of lakes, and these lakes and the aquifers are providing the water that we drink. There are some industrial concerns that are using water from the Ohio River because it's cheaper, and obviously there's going to be a concern about just where that water goes after they're done with it. Maybe they're dumping it back in the Ohio River. The reason nobody is drinking out of the Ohio River is it's one of the most polluted rivers in the United States. It's almost as bad as the Mississippi River. And so we're in this very weird situation where pollution may actually be saving the lives of the American people because we're not going to drink from that river, which is now contaminated with this detritus, chemicals coming from the Ohio derailment. Now, residents of this town in Ohio have sued the train company that spilled the toxic chemicals, even as authorities are trying to cover up the extent of the catastrophic event, and they're not succeeding. It's all over social media. Okay, and even the corporate legacy media is running some stories on there. They're trying to downplay the severity, but it's all over social media, and people are really justifiably concerned about this. So there are at least now four lawsuits in both state and federal courts. Pardon me. And the railroad company has been accused of negligent behavior through poor handling of hazardous materials, putting tens of thousands of lives at risk. And remember, we reported, I think it was just yesterday, that shortly before this derailment, the railroad companies had lobbied for a reduction in certain restrictions. And this train carrying all of this toxic material should have been handled as hazardous materials, but instead was being traded as regular cargo. And we now have this disaster, and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. And meanwhile, that fire is still burning, and it's creating hydrogen chloride in and phosgene gases. And I mentioned yesterday, phosgene gas is so toxic. It was used as a chemical weapon in World War I. And the problem is that the phosgene is colorless. It's got a slight odor to it, but if you don't know, if you can't recognize the odor, you don't know you're being exposed to it. So it's a major situation. Now, Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, spoke at the National Association of Counties and did not mention the Ohio train derailment. Instead, he focused on this problem that he has seen of a lack of diversity in the construction industry, noting that too many of the workers in this field were white. So that's Pete Buttigieg's agenda. We need to get more non-white people building our buildings and, I presume, laying our rails and so forth and so on. Needless to say, Republicans are slamming Pete Buttigieg for his silence after the derailment. And we got the same thing during the shipping crisis, you know, when the ports were all blocked up and Buttigieg was nowhere to be found. And he's totally incompetent. And the blame for that rests with Joe Biden, who got him the job. Okay. Now, meanwhile, Joe Biden basically issued a tweet this morning promising that climate investments will ensure our kids will breathe cleaner air and drink safer water. And, of course, the Ohio train derailment is certainly messing up both the air and the water in that part of the country. And again, no mention of the derailment, and Joe Biden is being verbally chastised by a lot of people for basically ignoring the situation. Now, do you remember when Chernobyl happened? Okay, the Soviet Union came in immediately. They brought in buses, which eventually had to be abandoned because they were contaminated. But they evacuated the town. Everybody was forced to live. They were given new places to live, and they were given health care for the rest of their lives. In Palestine, Ohio, basically people are being told, you're on your own. They're not even getting hotel vouchers. Nothing but lies, dead pets, dead livestock, and a very uncertain future. So it's ugly, and it's not going to go away. We're going to be dealing with this contamination for a long time to come. And they do like to cover these things up. I mean, there have been major environmental disasters. There was that dioxin catastrophe over in Bhopal, India. And dioxin is another really nasty chemical. It's one of the ones that go into Agent Orange. It lasts forever, and places where there have been dioxin accidents are fenced off with no scheduled time to reopen. There's one on the Big Island of Hawaii from the testing of Agent Orange. There's another one, I think it's over in Italy, where a factory blew up and showered dioxin all over the place. It's now fenced off and abandoned, and nobody is allowed to go in there. Now, we've had another mass shooting, and like so many other mass shootings, there are reasons to think that there is more going on than the official story. So, basically, this happened over a period of 4 hours. You know, which every one of these mass shootings that support the gun grabber agenda, the mass shooter is just allowed to, you know, roam free, and the cops have got their hands up, and we don't know what we're doing here. And basically, the gunman shot 8 people. 3 died. The other 5 are in critical condition at the local hospitals. All were students of Michigan State University, where the shooting took place. And unlike a lot of other shootings, we have pictures of this gentleman, and he's described as a short black man with red shoes, a jean jacket, and a ball cap. Stills from the footage show him pulling a pistol from his jacket. And that's kind of interesting, because some of the early reporting on this shooting was saying, oh, he's got an AR-15, it's another assault weapon crime, and we've got to do something about it. And so it went all over the place. So we've got another hours-long rampage. And all I can say is this underscores that the other students and staff should have been allowed to carry arms for self-defense. So instead of this black individual just having an open, free-range shooting experience, somebody could have, you know, dropped him right there and ended it here. Now, there are a lot of reasons to think it might be another one of these manufactured shootings to advance the gun grabber agenda. But given the shooter's race, and by the way, he had nothing to do with the University of Michigan, complete outsider, not a student or anything, we may be seeing the government's anti-white propaganda reach its bloody and inevitable end. You know, we have been seeing, you know, whites demonized and villainized in the corporate media and political speeches. And this black individual may have just decided, I'm going to go in and start killing white people. Although he killed at least one black young lady, student there. Now, over on Twitter, which is still unfortunately not entirely free of propagandists, posts went up almost immediately, being illustrated with a picture of a white person. And these Twitter posts blamed a random white man for the mass shooting. And, of course, the photos from the surveillance photo show that he was, in fact, black. But they wanted to push this agenda of, oh, this violent white person, and we've got to deal with this here. So anyway, it turns out that this shooter, his name is McCray, had a previous felony weapons conviction. This is being reported by Fox News. He was in possession of a loaded gun back in 2019, and he had the gun. He did not have a concealed weapons permit, which was required in his state. And so he eventually pled guilty to the possession of a loaded firearm charge, and he received a sentence to probation. But here is the problem. If you are convicted of a felony, or if you just have a past history of bad behavior around guns, you're not supposed to be able to get another gun. All right, we got to take a break for commercials here, and we'll be back to talk about this a little bit more. Thank you.
which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bull out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh, yeah.
What does it say about a society who elects people who can't quote their own founding documents? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use your Second Amendment right to bear arms. We all had fun with President Biden having a little brain fart quoting the Declaration of Independence. You know the thing. Well, last weekend, Vice President Harris did something far more sinister. She intentionally left out life in listing our unalienable rights. Clearly, she did this because she was speaking to a pro-abortion group, but that doesn't explain her first omission. The second, before omitting life as an unalienable right to pander to the crowd, she left out God to create the new progressive version of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Our rights do not come from an all-powerful government, and that is what makes the United States the greatest nation in the history of the world. We are doomed to tyranny if we allow our politicians to forget or ignore that. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
We are living.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking about the shooting at the university, a terrible tragedy. And it turns out that the shooter had a prior felony conviction, according to Fox News. The Democrats and corporate media are already out there screaming about, we need new gun laws to restrict the law-abiding gun owner, because the criminals don't pay attention. But apparently the existing gun laws, like the immigration laws, are simply not being enforced. And given this individual's prior criminal past, he should not have been able to purchase another gun. So that's another reason to think this was allowed to happen, to push the gun grabber agenda. And as I mentioned before, if there's a lesson to be learned from this mass shooting, it's that students and staff be allowed to be armed. Okay, and this was illustrated by a recent story. This was outside Phoenix, Arizona. A gunman walked into a restaurant, fired several rounds, but there was another customer at the eatery was carrying and shot the guy and ended the threat right there. And of course, the government and the media do not want you to know about this kind of thing, because it goes against the gun grabber agenda here. All right, getting into some other politics here. As you're no doubt aware, back during the peak of the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, there was a letter that was sent out, signed by 51 former top U.S. Intelligence officials, saying that the Hunter laptop was a Russian misinfo operation. Well, now some of those individuals are trying to come on back and repair their reputation by saying, no, that was a distortion. The media distorted what we said about Hunter's laptop. And two of these high-ranking officials came on out basically trying to say, well, no, that was all fake news anyway. We never said anything about Russia. And this was James Clapper, former National Intelligence Director, and Thomas Finger, whose career included a stint as chairman of the National Intelligence Council. And they basically came on out and said, no, it's all fake news. We never said anything about Hunter Biden laptop being Russian misinformation. And, you know, that's the way Washington, D.C. operates. If at first you don't succeed, lie, lie again. Now, getting into the realm of censorship here, Project Veritas has scored big recently. First of all, with that video of a Pfizer executive talking about mutating the virus and being aware that there were some other issues with the vaccine. And they took a lot of heat for that, and there's apparently a lot of pressure being brought to bear on Project Veritas to basically dump James O'Keefe. And but Project Veritas went ahead and confronted YouTube's Vice President and of Trust and Safety, Matt Halperin, about the fact that they censored that video from Project Veritas about the Pfizer executive. Project Veritas put it up there. YouTube took it down. And they interviewed YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Not only have deleted the Project Veritas video of the Pfizer executive, they have now deleted the Project Veritas video asking the YouTube executive about censorship. And again, over at our little online store, we've got this coffee mug. It says the fastest way to bring down a dictatorship is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it. And that is exactly what is happening right now. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is out there saying that artificial intelligence has the power to turn everyone into liberals and end conspiracy theories, and there will be no more conservatives after about a generation, kind of advertising the fact that we are in a bit of a war between liberals and conservatives right now. And that's why they're going after the Christians, because most conservatives are Christians, and they want to demonize Christianity. They're trying to basically derail Christian churches with all this LGBTQ nonsense because the liberals basically want to get rid of them. You know, and Stalin did the same thing, got rid of religion over there. And if you want something to worship, you will worship the state. All right. Now, Microsoft got into a little bit of a public embarrassment where they had established a relationship with a group that specialized in blacklisting conservative news. And this was Global Disinformation Index. And their goal is to defund and shut down disfavored speech. Okay, in other words, they're arrogating to themselves the right to interfere with and try and shut down speech they don't agree with, not understanding that the First Amendment guarantee of free speech means you get to express your point of view and I get to express my point of view, and we let everybody listening decide for themselves what is going on. Well, Microsoft apparently buckled under the criticism, and they've now severed the relationship with that group, or at least that's what they're saying. For all we know, that's just more disinformation. All right, we got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
corporations. Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Okay, the COVID Nazis are back at it again, and you know, it's amazing as all this evidence surfaces that these vaccines not only do not protect you from COVID, but actually cause a great deal of harm, and still this is being pushed by those who are making huge amounts of money off of these shots, and those who simply don't want to admit that they were wrong, at risk to their reputations, and those who are just in love with the added authority that they were given. They're drunk on their own power. Now, at a federal court in Manhattan last Wednesday, John Bursch, an attorney working on behalf of teachers who were let go due to their refusal to take the vaccine, stated that these educators were identified with problem codes on their records, and their fingerprints were then forwarded to the FBI and the Department of Justice. okay, as if people who refuse the vaccine are automatically suspect, you know, potential domestic terrorists and so forth. But, I mean, this idea of sending their fingerprints to the FBI and other authorities, maybe it's just an intimidation tactic, but apparently a lot of these teachers didn't realize this had been done, and they are understandably upset. Now, the commissioner for the U.S. Food and Drug Administration basically testified that the agency's emergency use authorizations are independent of the COVID-19 emergency and will not expire. Normally, an emergency use authorization expires when the emergency is over, but now Dr. Robert Califf is indicating that they're going to transition the emergency use authorizations related to COVID treatment and testing to standard procedure. In other words, they're going to keep them for as long as they feel they need them. And I can tell you what this means. This means the FDA understands there is no way these mRNA shots would ever pass the process to actually become an approved medication. So they're going to keep on using the emergency use declaration to say, yes, we can stick this in your arm and you should stick this in your arm. Now, the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, went before Congress this week and basically blamed disinformation and misinformation for the fact that kindergarten children showing up at school are not fully vaccinated. They have not had that laundry list of vaccines from which CDC makes so much money here. And, of course, one possible area of misinformation that might be causing people to not vaccinate their children is the CDC's own vaccine adverse events reporting system, which is open to anyone in the public to look at, and apparently people are looking at the numbers. Now, according to the vaccine adverse event reporting system, there were 77,990 injuries, including 263 deaths recorded in 2021 and 2022 following all vaccines, not just the COVID vaccine. And of all of these cases, 61,000 of these incidents were following the COVID-19 vaccines, including 160 deaths. And analysts have taken a look and said that effectively that vaccine adverse event reporting system is only capturing roughly 10% of the actual events, because it's actually quite a bit of work for doctors to file a report with the adverse event reporting system, and many of them simply don't bother with that. But that's why people are backing off from vaccines and not getting their children vaccinated. It's not because of misinformation. It's not because of whatreallyhappened.com. It's not because of Republic Broadcasting. It's because of the government's own data shows there is a problem. Okay, and if they can't scare you with COVID, they've basically brought back a real nasty one. There is reportedly an outbreak of Marburg down in Equatorial Guinea in Africa. This is one of the filoviruses. It's similar to Ebola, and it has a mortality rate of 88%. This is a slate wiper. This is almost as bad as Ebola Mayinga, which has a 95% mortality rate, and there is no cure. And neighboring countries, Cameroon and Gabon, are already restricting movements across their borders, and Equatorial Guinea is already setting up massive quarantine facilities to try and get ahead of this, because that's going to be necessary. And adding to the fear porn, researchers are warning that Iraq could be the center of a new global superbug outbreak, because war has pushed bacteria to evolve resistance to antibiotics. Actually, no, it's the overuse of antibiotics that leads to antibiotic resistance bacteria. And the mechanism is really very simple. If you have a bug and they shoot you full of antibiotics, the antibiotics will kill most, but not all, of the bacteria. And if you only have a few of the bacteria in you, you don't feel sick anymore, you're cured, but you still have them. And those bacteria, which were able to resist the antibiotics, reproduce. and start to spread, and they become a problem because they have inherited this resistance to antibiotics because they were simply saturated in them. But now they're out there saying, well, no, the rise of antibiotic-resistant superbugs is all the fault of war in Iraq because of the destroyed healthcare infrastructure, shortages of medicine, heavy metal contamination, like depleted uranium, and poor sanitation. So the medical industrial complex is failing, and like anybody else in this political world, they're looking to find somebody to blame, and you know, they're concerned about these super bugs here. And last month they discovered a super gonorrhea in Massachusetts, which is antibiotic resistance, and is causing them a concern up there. All right, let's talk about the international news. Things are getting very, very dicey out there. Story coming out of MSN, strangely enough, they're talking about it. And it's headlined, Little by Little, the Russians Are Winning. And the Russian offensive is well underway. They are gaining territory, and you can't pretend it's not happening anymore. The Ukrainians have evacuated Krasny Liman and set up a new line of defense in Kharkiv. They have lost Kupiansk and Seversk. And so it's definitely getting there. Now, Kiev is moving forward in evacuating the city of Krasny Liman of the civilian population. The Russian army has broken through the second line of defense and is now pounding the area with artillery. So, yeah, the Russians are winning, and everybody's very nervous about that, especially Joe Biden, who, if Ukraine is not won, he's 0-2 as a war president. Now, the United States has announced that they're going to start sending depleted uranium weapons to Ukraine. Now, to bring you up to date, for those of you who are not familiar with this, depleted uranium is what's left over after you enrich uranium for reactors or weapons. And it's sort of the waste material. It's nuclear waste. It's still radioactive, but it has the advantage it's denser than lead, and hence it can carry more of the kinetic energy of the weapon to the target. And that's the rationale for using it. The problem is that when depleted uranium munitions hit their target, they vaporize. And so you have this radioactive dust floating in the air, getting down into the soil. And you inhale it. And once it's embedded in you, it's continuing to irradiate you. And it causes all kinds of problems, cancers and so forth, birth defects, miscarriages. And Russia is now saying that U.S. delivery of depleted uranium arms to Ukraine would be akin to the outright use of nuclear weapons, certainly in terms of its after effects. Now, something left over from the war in Iraq, they were using depleted uranium munitions there. And I had a good friend that was a fellow Amiga software developer who had served in the war zone. And his job was he loaded the cannon on the A-10 tank buster attack aircraft, which uses depleted uranium munitions. And shortly after coming home, he came down with cancer and is sadly no longer with us. But this depleted uranium dust resulted in an epidemic of serious, serious birth abnormalities, not just in the people of Iraq, but in our own veterans, something that was also being covered up. And you look at these young soldiers, you know, they do their duty as they believe they're supposed to. They go to Iraq, they get into the war, they survive, they come home, they say, well, that's over, I'm going to get married and start a family. And then all of a sudden, they're having to deal with a seriously malformed offspring. And that is a real tragedy. Now, Switzerland has announced that it blocked Spain from sending Swiss-made anti-aircraft guns to Ukraine. This is in line with their strict military neutrality. Switzerland, when they sell weapons to other countries, they basically demand they sign a contract that they will not forward. They will not re-export these weapons to anybody else. You know, you buy from Switzerland, you keep it, you use it, and that's going to be fine. But Spain tried to get around that, and Switzerland has put the brakes on that, saying, no, we remain neutral, and you cannot use Swiss weapons in that war zone. Okay, over in Italy, the TV broadcaster RAI decided they were going to host Zelensky, you know, and do a big puff piece about what a great guy he is and so forth and so on. And they were going to host this message by Zelensky on the final night of Italy's biggest entertainment TV show of the year, a song contest that brings millions of viewers together. It's like, you know, these other music things that we see out there. And this has triggered major protests all across Italy. They don't want to see Zelensky. They are definitely not in favor of the war. In fact, that's a consistent result that we're seeing from polls all around Europe and even here in the U.S. The governments are all gung-ho for the war in Ukraine because they're not going to have to pay for it, and they and their families are not going to have to serve in it. But for the rest of the people, we're tired of wars. We lost in Afghanistan. We got worn out in Iraq. In fact, things are so bad that the U.S. has already notified Ukraine we don't have enough of those long-range missiles they're asking for. We've simply run on out, and that is also another problem. Okay, the U.S. Is starting to employ the Islamic State, which is banned in Russia, but they're down there now training them in Syria, and they're going to deploy them inside Russia for all kinds of sabotage missions, and this, of course, is also being slammed by Russia. Now, again, getting back to the ammunition shortage, I mean, the Ukrainian army is just going through that stuff like there's no tomorrow, and maybe for them there isn't. NATO wants to ramp up the supply of munitions to Kiev and is now talking with various producers within the alliance, trying to bump up production of ammunition quickly, because otherwise Ukraine is simply going to run out, and at that point the war would be lost. Meanwhile, up in Germany, they're getting ready to bring back the draft, okay? And that is another signal we're heading for a major, major conflict. And, you know, all the war profiteers are out there rubbing their hands together and saying, oh, this is going to be good for us here. Meanwhile, Russia is saying that NATO should hold an emergency summit over the Nord Stream sabotage. I am not entirely sure that this would be wise. NATO is going to cover for itself. I would say that Russia needs to basically go conduct their own investigation and maybe go to the international court. But at this point, when that story first came on out about the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline and, Russia did it, it never made sense. Nobody ever believed it because the lie was clumsy. It was unbelievable. It was terrible propaganda. And now that Seymour Hersh has come on out with inside sources confirming what happened, and independent sources confirm parts of Hersh's story, like the involvement of Norway, pretty much everybody's saying, yeah, this was done by the United States, and they can deny all they want, but the U.S. government's credibility around the world and with its own people is pretty much gone at this point. Now, down in Turkey, the financial damage is now estimated to reach a staggering $84 billion. The death toll is already over 30,000 people just in Turkey alone. And so they really got hit kind of hard. And again, there are times when things happen. Mother Nature goes on the rag and you say, okay, it's time to put down these petty political squabbles of our so-called leaders. Just push them off to one side, and as one human being to another, we reach out and we say, let's help these people get their lives put back together. Because, you know, I've been through big earthquakes myself, and it's nobody's fault, you know, and, you know, we should have sympathy for these people who built their lives in this area. And yes, it's a seismic area. Same thing in California. But when it happens, this is a time when the better side of human nature really needs to manifest itself. Meanwhile, over in Afghanistan, which is still, despite having kicked the United States out, is still struggling right there. Malnutrition is taking a heavy toll on the children. And there was the author of this article visited a children's hospital in Kabul. It was overwhelmed with malnourished kids. And every few hours, another one was brought into the malnourishment ward. Doctors and nurses are trying to save their lives. But the World Health Organization says that this year, around 17,000 Afghan babies and mothers are expected to suffer from severe acute malnutrition, while over 2.3 million children may suffer from moderate acute malnutrition. And Afghanistan has one of the highest rates of malnutrition in the world, and Afghans are calling on the global community for help, you know, to take care of the children. And again, you know, we may say, oh, Afghanistan's our enemy and everything. The children are not our enemy. The children of any country are not enemies of the United States of America. Let's start treating them like that. We'll be right back after these.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here. And down in Iran, strategic analyst Dr. Mostafa Kosh Cheshem summarized the current state of what he described as the U.S. hybrid war on Iran. And he basically came on out saying that the American campaign has stalled due to Iran's successful deterrence, sees there may be escalation into new battlegrounds despite the American side's failure to make any progress towards achieving its objective. Now, this is a bad time to be having another failure of our foreign entanglements because we're looking at impending military catastrophe in Ukraine, which even the New York Times is now acknowledging. And future historians may look back on the neoconservatives' decision to simultaneously target Russia, China, and Iran as one of the biggest blunders in history. And I would definitely agree with that one. So it looks like, it's going bad in all of these places. But, hey, we got that balloon. We absolutely got that balloon. By the way, the White House apparently is realizing that we're not falling for the death from the sky balloons and so forth. And they very quietly admitted that the last three of these objects they shot down were commercial or otherwise benign objects. In other words, they went up there with their expensive jets and used these $400,000 missiles to blow somebody's science experiment out of the sky. All right, over in Canada, Justin Trudeau wants to basically disappear unacceptable views. And, they've got this bill out there, C-11, and if it is passed, this will basically force social media in Canada to bury any unacceptable views, okay, where they're just, take them and drop them in the ocean and nobody will see it again. It's a dictatorship. I'm sorry, Canadians, you are living under a dictatorship. And I realize you have a reputation, well-deserved, for polite behavior and reserve, but maybe it's time to reevaluate just how you're going to respond to the tyranny emerging within your midst. Getting into the economic news, there are proposed bills. House Bill 2206 and Senate Bill 40 would require all new housing, single-family residents or small multifamily residents, to have at least one electric vehicle charging station in each residential unit with dedicated parking. And, the housing builders are going to say, well, this is going to add cost to the cost of the construction of the house here. And he says, for every $1,000 price increase in the home, you knock out about 6,000 buyers. Now, looking at the current price of new housing, that cost of a charging station isn't really all that much, okay? The problem is, and I've been saying this all along, where do you get the electric generating capacity for all those charging stations and all those electric vehicles? Now, over in the European Union, they're getting ready to ban all fossil fuel cars. Same argument. Where are you going to get the electricity? And the carbon Nazis cannot answer that. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. We're going to open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We've already got one caller on the line. We'll be right back.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.